Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone. A shorter than usual edition, but a special one nonetheless. We're going to have a very quick look at the upcoming W League. And I've got my good friend on Skype, Anne O'Dong from the Women's Game. I've stressed it before, if you want to follow the Australian W League this season, the Women's Game is the place to do it. Anne, good day. How are you, mate?
I'm good, KT. How are you going?
Yeah, all right. I bet it's a lot warmer down there than it is here in London. But we won't talk about the weather because I know that you're really pushed for time because, like myself, you essentially have two jobs with the women's soccer. We'll kind of look ahead to what the W League could potentially throw up. It kicks off this weekend. I mean, what you've been doing a lot of work in the lead up to it. What do you think are the main kind of talking points as we await the kickoff this weekend?
The main talking points are, will anyone challenge Melbourne City, really? Considering just how dominant they were in Season 8, it's really a question of if teams have recruited well enough to be able to challenge them this season. And saying that, I don't think Melbourne City are as strong as they were in Season 1. So I think if they come down just a little bit and a couple of other teams have recruited some really good players and have got some good attacks, it could make it for a very, very interesting season.
It was interesting that you say that Melbourne City aren't necessarily as strong as they were last year. They, of course, won't have Kim Little this season. She's gone and joined Arsenal Ladies from Seattle. And Lisa Devanna as well won't be in Melbourne this season. We're not sure where she's going to be at the moment, are we?
No, it's a bit of a where in the world is Lisa Devanna? We seem to be doing that quite often. But, yeah, it's a bit of a surprise that City announced that she wouldn't be there this season. She was the co-captain and she was really the foundation player for Melbourne. She was the first place person signed. So having her gone and then you've got the likes, as you mentioned, of Kim Little, Larissa Crummer is struggling in terms of being fit for the season. And then Beattie Goad has joined Stanford in the US college system. And suddenly the forward line looks a little bit sparse for City. And that's a significant amount of goals that's gone out of there.
Well, they won 12 out of 12, didn't they, during the regular season. They got taken to penalties, if I remember rightly, by the Brisbane Roar in the playoffs before they won the final. I guess from a neutral perspective, it will make it more interesting because they were so dominant last year. And you asked the question at the beginning, can anyone beat Melbourne City? Based on, what, the 2-3 minutes that we've been discussing them, it sounds like they probably can.
I think what it will be is the team that's got the ability to actually hurt them, because one thing that Melbourne City actually do have, even though I think they're a little bit weaker than they were in the first season, is they've got an incredible defence. You've got the likes of Laura Alloway in there, you've got Steph Catley, they've added Tegan Allen as a fullback, a right fullback, and she was for a long time the Matildas' right fullback, and then you've got the likes of Lauren Barnes who's come in there, the defensive midfield pairing of Amy Jackson and also Ivy Lewick, and their back half is actually incredibly strong. And then, to top it off, they've got Matilda's goalkeeper and Lydia Williams. So the team that can actually hurt them on offence is the one that's going to be able to challenge that, and that looks like it might be Canberra.
Yeah, Canberra, of course, finished runners-up in the actual domestic league, and I know that they lost the final, if I remember rightly, off the top of my head. Yeah. I mean, I look at it now and obviously there's a lot of attention on the W League at this time of year because a lot of other leagues like the Women's Super League in England, the NWSO in America, the Swedish Damallsvenskan, the Toppserien in Norway, they all finish around the time that the W League starts. And as a result of that, we see a lot of players head down under. I think I've counted 25 players from the NWSO alone or around that number are going to be in the W League. For you, as someone who's covered it from pretty much day one, how far do you think it's come and how big is this season when you look at the quality of players? I mean, I look at a team like Adelaide United, who missed out narrowly on the playoffs last year, being able to attract the likes of Sofia Huerta and Danielle Colaprico, who was recently in the US Women's National Team squad, Monica. This league is attracting some big players and that is bringing a lot of attention to it.
And it's great. I think in terms of where the league needs to go for what we need it to do, which is provide and develop Matildas, that's exactly what we need in terms of the calibre of player. I think in previous seasons, teams have kind of rolled by in terms of what they did in signing players, and I think this year they've actually made a real concerted effort to go after players that are going to be able to assist them and do what they need them to do. So I think in terms of the quality is great. Monica, you spoke about Sophia Huerta. You've got Yukuta Kinga, who's come across from Japan as well. We've got a Danish international in Nina Forsting as well. And so across pretty much all the teams, they've used their complement of four internationals. And then on top of that, you've got the local players. And I think that's what we need to keep doing. I still think Australia needs to ensure that the local players get the best opportunities that they can, and that they're developing junior Matildas and also young Matildas for the future generation. Because when you look at the Matildas team that went to the recent Rio Olympics, really only three players, Claire Polkinghorne, Lisa Devanna and Lydia Williams, were not products of the W League, and that's exactly what we want.
No, absolutely. And that was going to be a question that I asked. Is there a kind of fear from maybe Alan Stajic or any of those involved in the Australian setup that, as I said, 25 odd players come from the NWSL. You add the other players, like you said, Nina Frausing and a few others as well, Yukari Kinga. It takes away those opportunities maybe for those young Australian players to come through. We saw many of them last year. We've seen some really young players make their debut for the Matildas over the last 12 months. Is there a fear? Has Alan Stajic said anything in relation to this, or is he pretty comfortable with the situation?
I think for him, four is the maximum they'll go. I think after that, then you're having real issues in relation to where your players are going to go in the W League season and getting actual game time. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the likes of Alex Chidiac have gone back to Adelaide. You will see the likes of Princess Abeni at Sydney FC, Grace Ma at Canberra United. I mean, they're the next generation of player, and it's critical that they actually get game time. And I think that for Alan Stajic is the thing that he needs to be seeing, is that these players that are the future of the national team are getting regular games, but they're also getting them in an environment where they've got good quality players to be able to show them what it is to be professionals and to be able to give them the right kind of development outside of the national team system.
So who do you like the look of when you look at the dealings that have gone on before the season, the players that have come in, the players that have moved around a little bit? We've discussed Melbourne City, but who else stands out for you when you look at the players that have come in?
Look, I like the look of Sydney FC. I think they're a really well-balanced side. I think when you have a look at their defence, midfield and attack, all of it is very, very solid. I think for Sydney, though, they're probably one good, or maybe one or two good internationals away from being able to really challenge Melbourne City. And then you look at the attack of Canberra United. I mean, they've got some incredible pace in there. You've got Michelle Heyman, who's the leading all-time goal scorer. You've also got the likes of Steph Oakes, who can play either forward or defence. Hayley Razzo's come in. Jasmine Spencer, Ashley Sykes. I mean, they've got a lot of real attacking impetus there. But I also like the fact that teams like Perth Glory have looked to plug some of the holes that they had last year, and particularly in the midfield. Up front, they'll look quite good with Sam Kerr, Vanessa DiBernardo, and also Rosie Sutton up there. So they, I think they'll be back contending for the finals once again. But really, it is Melbourne City again who are the front runners, with Erica Timrak coming into the club, Lauren Barnes, as I mentioned. But I think there are a couple of teams that really could make it interesting towards the back end of the season. And I'm not forgetting also the Newcastle Jets, who again have looked to address some of the issues that they had last season. In particular, they found it really hard to score goals, and they've picked up Ben Hoy to hopefully help with that in terms of being a clinical finisher.
Yeah, you're right there. Newcastle Jets are the team that I was going to say stood out for me when you look at the players they've got that are homegrown, the likes of Chloe Legazzo, and then you have the added quality of Jen Hoy, who you mentioned. They've got Kelsey Weiss and Megan Oyster, who obviously played for the Washington Spirit in the NWSL Championship game, and then Aaron Gilliland, who again was called up into the US Women's National Team recently. I think they've recruited really well and complemented what they have. But what I like about the W League is that it's always competitive. It's getting better each year. I remember watching it maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and if I remember rightly, I think Western Sydney Wanderers might have conceded 10 in one game. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening this season, personally, and I'm not sure if you have any differing views.
No, I agree. I think in the last couple of years, there's been an evening out of the talent, and I think that's going to continue over the next couple of years. But definitely, I think it's one area where we need to get better at, is in terms of the recruitment, and I think also in terms of making sure, as you said, the level of play is at a standard that's going to help everyone, and that means that the internationals will enjoy coming here and that the local players will be getting the development that they need.
Absolutely. Well, Anne, I know you pushed for time, so I've just got a couple more. I mean, it was announced last week that the league will be broadcast in the United States on ESPN3. I think that's a channel that's actually streamed online. I don't think people can watch it through their TV. But, I mean, how big is that for the league? I know it doesn't exactly benefit those in Australia. It's not exactly a big deal, maybe, to those that watch it in Australia. But for the league to be acknowledged and the league to be received in a country where it's kind of widely accepted that it's probably the most popular sport in terms of women's soccer, how big is it that it's now going to be broadcast in that country and open to even more people?
I think it's great. I mean, and although I have to just say that it's going to be just that one broadcast match around, which is kind of like the match of the round here, but I think it's a starting point. It's a really, really good starting point, and something that we've been calling out, well, I've been whinging about for ages, so they're probably doing it just to keep me quiet for a little longer. And I think what it does is it starts to open up the W League to other markets beyond Australia. I've been saying for a really long time that if you want your product to be successful, you need to provide it to the largest available audience. And that's always been beyond Australia's shores. We just don't have the population for it. And so I think, you know, if people can see what it's like and get some investment in emotional investment into the league, it can only be good for the league going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you are without questions one of the biggest champions of women's football down in Australia. You and the women's game are without a doubt the biggest advocates of it. But you're not also one of those people who will pull the wool over people's eyes. You don't look at it through rose-tinted glasses. I saw that you went on a radio show recently, I think it was the last few days, where there are concerns perhaps that if there isn't that investment and there isn't that growth and progression of the league, that other sports could potentially take over. I think Aussie Rules Football, where they now have a women's league. You could tell me if I'm wrong on that one. But
yeah, no, that's right.
I know that there's kind of, there's feelings that it's in a good place, but that's not in any way a suggestion that we should rest on our laurels and we need to keep moving it forward.
Absolutely. And it's about moving it forward for the future. You know, it's a league that we started early and we were one of the first, but if you rest, as you said, if you rest on your laurels, a lot of other leagues are catching up, and there are quite a few issues in relation to the W League, and the PFA has been talking and dealing with the players in relation to pay and conditions, which haven't been the greatest. And in the last 12 months or so, there's been a lot of talk about it and what can be done to improve it. And I also think, you know, the standard has been up and down over the last couple of years, but it's starting to get better and it's starting to get more consistent. You know, I absolutely love the league. I've been going since the very first season. This year I'll reach 100 games. So it's a league that I completely love, I'm absolutely invested in, and I just want the best for it. And the best for it sometimes means we have to have really honest conversations of where we're at and what we need to keep doing to get better and to get and to be one of the best leagues in the world. I mean, the things that are happening at the moment, good internationals coming in, the game being available on places like ESPN3, I think those should be starting points and those should be things that we're not just resting on. And I think that's something that we're going to have to work in the next 5 to 10 years if we wanted to continue to grow this league and if we want to continue to have players coming into the sport.
Yeah, without a doubt. When you look at the growth of the league in the years that it's been going, definite progression, as we said, much more competitive than maybe it was even 2 or 3 years ago. And that's parallel to what's going on with the Matildas, the national team. You look at the way that they're improving, making impacts in World Cups and Olympic Games, bringing in world-class players, and I do mean world-class when we're talking about the likes of Steph Catley and Caitlin Ford. And it's only going to get better if the league gets better and there's investment in those players who are making an impression for both club and country. So I completely agree with you. I don't know anywhere near as much as you do, but following it from afar, it's definitely something that has the potential, but it needs to be seen through. And if it's not, like you say, it's something that could fall away. I mean, I want to wrap it up, mate. I know that this is a bit of a snapshot, but I know that you are working tirelessly ahead of the weekend on a bit of a guide. So I'm going to try and get this out as soon as this recording is over. So for those that are listening, where can they find this guide that you're putting together and when can they have it?
We're just waiting for one club to finish releasing their squad. We're on embargo until they release their squad, and that's Perth Glory. So as soon as the Glory releases their squad, we will be putting out the guide, and hopefully it can just give you a little bit of a snapshot into the league and some players to look out for and a little bit of a read as well.
And where can they find it?
And you can find that on thewomensgame.com. And of course, we'll be tweeting out the links at the women's game on Twitter as well.
Yeah, and we'll retweet those from @WosoZone as well. And it's always a pleasure. I was gutted when I saw the list this week for the FIFA Coach of the Year that Alan Stajic was not on there. Once again, we're not going to go into that now. We're not going to go into that now. And we're definitely not touching on the players list because that is for another day. But it's always a pleasure, mate. I really do hope that you enjoy the season ahead. It's a cracking campaign, cracking league to follow with lots of good players. I'm very, very jealous that you get to see more of it than I do. But enjoy the season, mate, and we'll certainly be following it from over here.
Fabulous. Thanks, Katie.